God can meet with us over there just as well as here. But God has surely given us some good times here. We will be coming back here this evening into this room. Is that right, Rich? We'll be over there this evening, all right. And we'll be talking about excellence in education. Excellence in education. Academic standards. That the soul be without wisdom is not good. And so we'll be talking about that in a forum this evening. God has a lot to say about that in His Word. So watch for that this evening. But meanwhile, as soon as we open this first number here, 84A, using that tune, then the Dectet will lead us straight on in there. And we should be able to hear them singing, and they should be able to hear us because the microphones are set up in order to take care of that. Children will go with the parents over there, and we'll be sitting with the parents from age what, Rich? All ages over there. Everybody's over there. All right. If you need to take your child out because of distracting other people, please go into the foyer at the back. And after we get in over there, we'll close those doors. And there could even be some chairs. Do we need to take chairs over? There should be enough chairs for all of us over there. All right. Elders, please make sure you're right on the heels of the Dectet. And Dectet, you're going to have to sort of set the pace in the walking. We will not walk to the tempo of the music. We will just walk on through there. And this just symbolizes a lot for those of us who've been here since 1965. It's a move. It's a move. God likes it when people are moving. And so we're moving from here on there. Psalm 84a. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. How I long, yes, faint to see Jehovah's courts, his dwelling place. Let's ask the Dectet to sing the first stanza so you'll know how the tune and the harmony go, and then if you start the first stanza again and walk right straight on out. Oh.
Kindly care as well. be as we count her towers and mark her bulwarks well. In our God city we have seen what we before were told.
Want to read from you briefly here now words that have been especially precious to Rich, and he'll tell you why a little bit later on, but out of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One of the blessings of ministering with Rich Johnson, and incidentally, we're so thankful for a PA system. And we're learning how to use that PA system today. There are going to be lots of bugs that will have to be straightened out. And Eddie's doing good work back there in learning to use that today. One of the big privileges and blessings of my life has been working with Rich Johnston in the congregation here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There is a sense in which I, Roy, have planted and Rich has watered. But it's God who causes the life and the seed and makes it grow. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God bless us now as we would understand these words in terms of this move and this new building, of the work that you have done in building this building, of the work that you continue to do in the building of this congregation, and especially of the work that you do in the lives of every one of us, the individual lives, in building your character and your skills into every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. In those words, Jesus is teaching us things about building. He's using the word building, and he's using the word temple in three ways. The building that God has built, that's a physical building. And we can say in a very real sense, God has built this building. Kind of thing only he could do. And most of you don't even begin to guess at the numbers of times when we were just at wit's end, but God showed the way. Only God could do this building. And then secondly, the church that he's building through this, and the things that he's taught us about each other as a result of this physical building program. And third, then, about the individual men that he has been building in. And I want to talk with you about those three things, and those of you who are drawing pictures may want to go ahead and draw some pictures on that. The building that God has built, this beautiful, beautiful building here, it's God's building. With a carpet that'll wear for 15 years and will not show all the things that are dropped on it. And lighting that is attractive, makes it easy to read. And heating and cooling that'll make us comfortable in summer and in winter. And walls and colors that highlight the old battle flag, for whom many men, women, and children have given their lives. For Christ's crown and covenant, the battle flag. And the lighting and the wiring that will facilitate our communication via satellite and computer with other congregations and seminaries in Canada, in Britain, in Australia. And seating and facilities for families so that the children can sit with their parents. And incidentally, we're learning about that today. How is it that children can sit? How long can children sit? Parents, as well as the rest of us, are learning about that today. And parents, anytime you need to get up and take a boy or girl out, don't be embarrassed to do that. We'd like to see them here, but we realize that there is a learning procedure there. And then tomorrow, 300 children who will be in here with the Children's Institute. That is a good way of beginning the ministry to children and with children. You cannot read down through those verses 10 through 13 that I just read there without knowing that God is teaching about the construction of a physical building. Verse 10, he's talking about a skilled master builder, a skilled architect. That's where it begins, drawing up the plans. That's where we discovered it begins. Now, many of the men on the committee knew about that. I didn't. But you have to have a plan. You have to have drawings on paper. That's where it begins. So Jesus began that with verse 10. Then in verse 12 on to the in the latter part of that 10th verse, he goes on to lay the foundation. Well, that's the next thing that really does have to go down, the foundation. And then in verse 12, the superstructure and the composition on it, the quality control, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And that's laid on the foundation. Because in verse 13, God goes on to speak about his own inspection. The inspection for this building took place, I think it was Friday, wasn't it? But God has a little different inspection. He says, I'm really going to give you an inspection. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to see how much of it will burn. That's my inspection program. And we'll see how it lasts. And every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day of God's inspection, shall declare it and reveal it. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If it abide, he shall receive reward. If it does not abide, he loses all, although he himself will be saved, although as by fire, as a man running out of a burning building, as by fire. God is pleased with a beautiful, sound, strong building. That's why he had Solomon begin that building down there the way he did in Jerusalem a few years ago, the temple itself, that temple. And I believe he's pleased with this physical building that we're in here today, the beauty of it and the comfort of it. But God is also teaching us about the church. He's teaching us about ourselves as a church. And in this physical building program, we've learned so much about each other and about the congregation itself. He says, ye, plural, are the temple of God. And Jesus Christ is your foundation as a congregation. Jesus Christ is your foundation, the only foundation. For any church, Jesus Christ is that foundation. And throughout the past 16 months of physical building, Jesus has been building us together as a congregation. I don't know that there's any other experience that we could have gone through that would cause us to learn as much about each other and about what God has put among us as this one of the building of this building. How a session directs a building program. How a congregation builds without borrowing and learns to give cheerfully above and beyond anything that we could ever have imagined. Giving cheerfully and without any fund drive or any pledges. It was just as God put it into people's hearts to give. How God provides people. Amazing time of discovery of people. Engineers. People involved in construction, people involved in building, people that we never even recognized before, but God had put them here. God had them already. And because we've recognized them, we're that much loving Him that much more and understanding each other that much better. The men with the talent and the skills and the counsel. And as I begin to name names, I'll miss people. But I can't even illustrate the point without naming some names. It's really Dale Coons who kicked that off with the civil engineering. And then there was Don Falk who followed hard after that. And Don just happened to have retired the year before and be available for this at that point. Jim Bright. But Jim Bright is not only an air traffic controller, he is a carpenter and a master carpenter. And Donald Cassell as an architect. And John Thomas, who became a construction manager. And Dan Cutter, who became his construction superintendent. And instructor par excellence. And manager of all those who were working. You ask these boys about Dan Cutter, and they'll tell you he loves them. And he's interested in seeing them do it, but do it right. And many of them had to go back and do something again. And that's the building of character. And others who've come to help us, and Rich is going to pick up the names of the ones that I forget. Doyle Robinson, Alan Mills, Frank Goodwin. So many of those others who came in. But as they came in, they said, our primary objective will be to help these boys learn these building skills. And where necessary, to have to go back and do it again and keep doing it until it's done right. And that's the development of character. And the giving of the congregation and the hundreds of hours of voluntary labor and the giving of the congregation and the planting and the watering from outside in the landscape, and the giving of the congregation, and the decorations committee, and the giving in the congregation. All these work together. God has taught us about ourselves as a church, things that we never would have known otherwise. But then third, the people that God has built, the young men into whom he has built something more of his own character through this building process. Verse 16 says, ye are God's temple, and the Spirit of God is in you, you as individuals. 20 of these young men have learned building skills and the development of character that went along with that, as I've just explained. Probably the most important of these three buildings. Building a physical building, beautiful, sound, and that will be a praise of him. Only God could have done it. Building a congregation, yes, that's blessing, helping us to know each other. But building into the lives of these men. And there are some of these men who began as boys, but they're finishing as men. There were others who were men to begin with. But they too have grown in that relationship that Jesus Christ established with them. Building of these men, each one of them is God's temple. You are God's temple. And Jesus Christ is the foundation of their life. And on that foundation, they are building character qualities of diligence, honesty, alertness, authority, those things and others. And Rich will, I hope, tell you more about that when he comes. They know that their work will be tested. And I've just explained to you what Jesus said here about his inspection is by fire. Now, I'm not praying for fire in this building, and I understand that Eddie has it well wired so that any smoke that comes up will be seen and heard immediately, not only by this building, but by the fire department and anyone else out around. But some way or another, the building that has gone into this building will be tested. And when lights go out in the future, I'm not going to come around and ask which one wired that one, or who put that smudge over there. Well, why didn't this paint stay there? Or what about the bubble in this carpet here? I'm not going to come around and ask. But Jesus is particularly interested in proving the quality of workmanship that you have built into this building. The temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And these men are going to preach the remainder of this sermon, because they're going to tell you of what it is that God has built into their hearts and lives of the particular scripture. We've asked them to come a little bit in uniform this morning, and so don't be surprised as you see some of these tools coming in here. They're not going to work right after the service. We just wanted you to know what they look like. Now, they didn't come in ties each day when they came in, but we did want you to see a little bit of their uniform. And Rich? I didn't say about Rich, but he had taught this particular subject in school for 20 years and then retired just in time to be the man who would be the chairman of that construction committee through all this time. And God is teaching us as a church about each other.
Day we've, many of us have looked forward to for a long, long time. And those who are guests here, we especially thank you for joining us to celebrate this day and to be a part of all that we do here this morning. People have come from far away. A man named John is here from Uganda. The other guests, Roy has introduced earlier, his brother and his wife, Skeet Blackwood. We especially welcome them. The Kaminishes and the group from the Equip Training Program down at the Training Center are here with us, and we are very glad that they've been able to share this morning in this worship of the Lord with us. Alan Mills is especially here, and others also that probably ought to be introduced, and if I'm missing people, I apologize. Thank God for the people of God gathered together to worship him this morning for what he has done, and not for anything any one person or group of people can receive credit for. For it's all by grace. By grace. There are others that, as humans, we're thankful for. The Finance Committee, Don Falk, Ken Thompson, Diana Hunter, Jack Baumgartner. The committee that served in the interior decorating and planning for all this. Carl and Joan Stoichev, Ann Thomas, Wendy Brandt, Dee Winslow. The construction committee, as already has been mentioned. God used each and every one of you as well, many times as volunteers and as counsel, as help, and the giving that Dr. Blackwood's mentioned. It's a praise to his name and to his glory. The involvement with young people on this property began from this church's earliest days, when in the old building there was at times as many as 50 people living for up to 6 weeks in the summertime. Young men, many of us remember fondly living there during the school year as singles. Many, many events on this property where sometimes there were as many as 200 single people gathering here for soccer, volleyball, and then a speaking time and a singing time of hearing God's word. Not new idea for young people to be involved in construction either, as the construction training program in 1989 and 1990 and other significant events with young people working on the property. Not a new idea, and yet a developing idea. As the committee met together and realized that it would be significant to have our young people involved in the actual building of this building. The building itself began really as a vision of one man on the session who believed that God could supply all that we needed financially. He secured a tape and let the members of the session together listen to that tape. And it challenged our hearts to believe God for something more wonderful and bigger than ever we'd imagined, than all that we could ask or think. And the session began to pray as the eminent and obvious need of a bigger building became obvious. And then Don Falk drew that, what's become known as Don's box, for us to define how much space we would need and what it might begin to look like anyway. Of course, we've come a long way from the design of Don's box to this structure this morning. We thank God that there have been many, many people involved in the planning of this. But the people that have been especially involved daily, every day, in the construction, we want to introduce to you at this time. John Thomas was our construction manager, and Dan Cutter was our superintendent involved with the daily overseeing of these young men. So Dan, if you'd bring your men up at this time, just gather on stage here, men. I explained to them earlier in this week that in crossing the Jordan, the men of that day picked up stones out of the Jordan River and put those in a pillar as a symbol. And so we wanted them especially to wear their equipment today as a kind of a significance and symbol, especially to you young people who are watching, who we look for forward in the years ahead for you being involved in these same kinds of ways that God leads us on ahead to other projects and other things. We've asked 10 of these young men to give a short word of testimony, and they're going to go in this order. And men, if you'll listen to me, number one, Mark Kincaid, two, Eddie Burris, three, Eric Filson, four, Daniel Pulliam, five, Nathan Thomas, six, Ben Turner, seven, Eddie Burris, I've got you twice, Eddie, I'm sorry, seven, Brad Johnston, eight, Kenny Nelson, and nine, Craig Hawkins. If you'll go in that order without being introduced, just come up and share what God has put on your heart from Scripture and from your own life. And so we'll have Mark Kincaid followed by each in order. Mark?
Nehemiah talks about the building of the wall and later of the building of the temple. I'd like to think of this church building as a church building, but it's also a building of a wall. I refer to the scripture that says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it." I feel I've had just a little idea of the blessing that Nehemiah got watching people far and near who helped contribute to the building of that wall. I know that many of you contributed directly or indirectly through the help of sons or daughters, and I'm sorry that each and every one of you were not able to witness firsthand God bringing the young men and women together for the purposes of building this wall. Many times my dad has claimed that he can teach and learn so much about a person by just simply playing sports with them. And I got a glimpse of that as I worked with these young men and many of you out there. I got a little taste of that while watching and working with those who came in from far and near to help build this building. We had those with the gifts of prophecy. We had some with the gifts of mercy, exhortation, teaching. And I saw each of them using their gifts in their own special way. And I saw how Danny Cutter formed us into a crew of laborers. We had such a diverse crew. We had people from Lafayette, Indiana, people all the way from Texas, and as far as Israel, if you want to count the crew that came back from the trip over there. We even have one man that came from as far as he was born there, at least Yugoslavia. But the Lord molded all these men into working on this building, this wall. If we are to paraphrase Nehemiah and write out our place in God's history, his story, it will read something like, "And the sons," that's daughters included, "of Baumgartner's, the Bells, Blackwoods, contributed thus and so. The sons of Brandt, Bright, Britt, and Brown contributed such and such. The sons of Burris, Hawkins, Cassell, and Chang, Cutter, Dombro, De Leon, Brodies, Davies, and Dreyer, and Filson and Folt contributed such and such, as well as the sons of Hall, Heimberger, Jacks, as well as Johnson, Johnstons, and Coons. The sons of Koss, Lefebvre, Lemick, Long, Magnuson, May, McBurney, Neil, Panair, Pulliam, Rouse, Smoody, Smith, Stoichevs, and the Stewarts. Also, Sutton, Thomas, Thompson, and Turner's contributed. The Urbanes, the Walshes, the Webers, the Winslows as well." I know I've left some people out. You can't get a complete list. I mean, I know somebody who babysat Mullins so that somebody else could also help. But the Lord knows, and it's to his glory that it was done. We saw Romans 8:28 in action. God working all things together for good. In the end, after Danny Cutter talked to us and straightened it out, God worked his purposes through our actions. We saw the physical walls being built. Nehemiah stated it, says in Nehemiah, "And all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." And believe me, they did. They were here at all hours. They put their hearts into it. But while watching the physical building has been a real blessing, we trust this will not remove our hearts from the most important opportunity spiritually. The opportunity to join together, to be set a light to the nations. We know that most certainly the most important contribution for our part in his story will be to set a light to the nations. And that's the vision that I share with the pastor and others here as we built this. Thank you.
I don't have to get my speech card, so. First, I'd like to thank Mr. Thomas and Mr. Cutter for giving us this opportunity to come work here, giving us the experience. The verse I picked out was Nehemiah 4:6. "So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The part of the verse I want to focus on is, "For the people had a mind to work." Application I got from this verse was, and from working on a church, was to depend and trust on God more. And because we'd worry about something that had to be done and not have experience or enough men and And then God provided just on time what we need. Thanks.
When I first heard about this opportunity to learn more about construction and to work on this new building, I was immediately interested. The Lord's timing and all of this has enabled me to be a part of this building process. The building was started 1 year earlier. I'd have not been old enough to participate these last 7.5 months. Here are some things that either helped with or worked on. Putting in electrical boxes, sweeping and mopping water out of the basement, running yards and yards of electrical wire, hanging drywall, doing a bit of rough carpentry, running conduit through the ceiling of the basement, running telephone wire, installing light fixtures, putting together toilets, building a catwalk through the hot attic, filling holes in trim with mud, sweeping dust and dirt off the floor, putting up trim, filling or walking around on stilts almost twice my height and then falling. I don't think I'll ever forget how Mr. Robinson taught me to use a paintbrush and a roller, and then how to get just the right color when staining trim. Mr. Robinson taught me thoroughness. Through his example, he taught me not to overlook important details and to look for places that needed to be redone or that had been skipped. From Mr. Cutter's example, I learned how to be diligent, patient, and frugal. Mr. Cutter showed diligence when he kept on working, even though he was tired. He was patient in the way he corrected us in love, not anger. He was frugal in that he saved us money by finding the right buy. I learned from both of these men what quality craftsmanship was really like. While I was preparing this testimony, the Lord showed me a verse in 1 Chronicles 22:19, and it says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house to be built to the name of the Lord." In the first phrase, the first phrase has to do with building a relationship with God, which our parents and some of you have helped us develop these past many years. The second phrase has to do with rising up and building a sanctuary. The third phrase has to do with the house, has to do with what we bring into the house of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant and the holy vessels, in a sense, are our hearts, the Word which we have, which God has written in the tablets of our hearts. And then this morning, as we've, each of you are like vessels which know Christ, and we've brought them over into this sanctuary, like it says in 1 Chronicles 22:19. I just want to thank you in the name of the Lord for sacrificially giving of your time and money and building the place, money into this building of this place, and building into our lives. I just want to thank you for that.
The first thing I want to start out by saying is that God did the building through Mr. Cutter and Mr. Robinson and many other people. If it hadn't been for God, this building probably wouldn't be ready at this time. God taught me some really strange things working on this building, and I have learned a lot. Sometimes I got really discouraged on the projects I was assigned to, but in the end, I was grateful that I did them. I can understand now why my dad and many other people were so enthusiastic about Tekton. I think the best part of me working on this building was getting to know the people who work beside me better. I have made some new friends, and I hope I'll get the chance to know them better. The verse that I have worked on during this project is Ephesians 6:18, where it says, "Praying always with prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Through this verse, I have learned to pray with diligence to God when I am in difficult times. The first thing that God taught me through working on this building was the importance of diligence, working hard until the job gets done. The second thing I believe God has taught me is doing exactly what I am told to do, even if I don't agree with what I'm told to do. The last major thing that I have learned here is listening to my authorities carefully. These character qualities have been so important to me. I could have made some pretty serious mistakes if I didn't have these character qualities. But my father gave me the discipline early in life so that I would not have trouble with it later. These things that God has taught me have helped me in so many ways in my life. In all, I believe that I have enjoyed the time I've spent here working on God's church building. God has taught me some pretty important lessons working here, and I thank God for letting Mr. Cutter to work here. I have learned so much from him, and I hope I can learn much more from him in the future. I also want to thank God for that he allowed me to be the right age at the right time to work on his church building.
Two of the verses that have meant a lot to me are Deuteronomy 1:21 and Philippians 1:6, which go, "Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." And Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that Christ, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I've had the opportunity to work on the church since last August or September. And in the last year, God has taught me in many ways. First, God has taught me to be less focused on myself and to be totally submissive to others in authority, no matter what job they give you. Also, not to be so reliant on my emotions and how I feel, but to go up and possess the land, to do a task with fervor and enthusiasm, not grudgingly, but with a smile. I am so grateful to the Methodist Church that they have taken the experiences that they have had and taught us through them. I've learned many different skills from Mr. Robinson, Mr. Cutter, and others, such as carpentry, painting, mudding, and tiling. These skills will stay with me for the rest of my life, and I am eternally grateful for them. God has placed each of the men here for a specific task. Someone had to be here every minute of the day to supervise, and I do not believe God could have put Mr. Cutter in a better position to do that. God has put Mr. and Mrs. Johnston here, and they have been so helpful pointing out ways to do things better. God has put two other men here who could have been doing better jobs, but they chose to build instead the testimony of God's work, which is what this is. It's a testimony of God's work in our lives. Without him, we could not have finished these tasks. We may have been the ones doing it on the outside, but God was the one motivating factor of the whole project. The glory belongs to him. It says in Psalm 107, verses 31 and 32. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Let us give praise to whom it belongs, to God. This building, I believe, will not just be another building, but a light
for me to fulfill God's plan for my life. My work here has also taught me several other important lessons. One of the most significant that I have learned can be found in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. To me, this verse best summarizes all that has taken place here. God's presence has been manifested in every phase of this construction. Even on a day-to-day basis, it's awesome to see, you know, the results of our prayer sessions here. We've seen how God can take the very difficult situations and make them work out smoothly according to his perfect purpose. Today, as we see the fulfillment of Romans 8:28, this building, don't forget also the building team, leadership, and the congregation. They're the people who love God and can call it according to his purpose. And this building here is just how all things work together for good. And think of it for a minute. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord, because he's been very good to us.
I thought I wouldn't have to wear my tool belt for a while, but I guess so. I'd like to share an insight that God has taught me through this Tektone program. I've worked in it in the very early stages, back when you could climb around on the rafters and go through the walls. And then I kind of broke off from that for a while and worked in the lawn care business, and then have supplemented a couple days every so often. It's been a real experience. I'd like to share with you 2 Corinthians 11, 22-29. It says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and have thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of the concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" And the purpose of this is, as I started working here, I came in with a lot of, what am I going to learn here? Because I've had the opportunity to work with Dan before, and he will tell you that he is a wonderful teacher, and he will show you how to do it right. And the relationship that I see here is how sometimes I saw that they had to take me kind of aside and say, you know, we know how to do this better than you do, and we can show you how to do this in a simpler way, and you can get done with more and have more production. And I just thought that was an interesting insight that I learned. Not only Dan Cutter, but Rich Johnston, John Thomas, Joel Robinson, and some of the others we reported to and sometimes showed or told me how they had these experiences. This helped me to realize that even tasks that I receive, some of those mundane tasks that I feel like I shouldn't have to do, but like, for instance, being willing to do sweeping the floor, being willing to clean up messes, eating leftover ice cream, or whatever else was handed me, but also learning and working along the younger guys and the older men, and that was a neat experience as well. And then learning to be as one mind, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 13 there at the end, having one mind. And I'm also grateful to the opportunity to serve in this way, to Dan Cutter, to Rich Johnston, to John Thomas, to my mom and dad for their encouragement in doing this, to Doyle Robinson, to those here heading up the Tectone program, and to those people behind the scenes that sometimes we don't recognize, and also to the greatest carpenter there ever was, Jesus Christ.
Well, we're finally here. This day, I stand here and I've thought for the last year what it would be like to stand up here and watch, look out and see this room filled with people. We've worked and worked and worked, and you know, there's a wave of emotion that's flooded over me this morning in seeing the church finally in the building. We've worked on the building, but now the church is finally here. I guess I wanted to just take a couple minutes and share with you a little bit about what God's done in my life. There's been 3 big things that God has done in my life, and I think all of them have to do with helping me to understand the purpose that God has for my life. I've been wrestling through for a period of time, you know, Lord, what is it that is worth giving my life to? And I guess God has used his building in an incredible way to teach me a little bit more about what his life purpose is for me. I still haven't found anybody that's told me about the 20-year plan God laid out for their life, but I have talked to a lot of people through whom God has shown the next step. But I guess as I've toiled these past many months, there have been a number of things that have been built into my life that will change me for the rest of eternity. First of all, and probably most importantly, I've had the opportunity to eavesdrop into the spiritual lives of the men that have been over me, that have been authorities over me, through Dan and through Mr. Robinson especially, but also through my dad and Mr. Thomas. We've gotten the chance through working 8-hour days, 5 days a week, to get to know these men in a way probably few of you do. And Dan, some of those 13 and 14 hour days too, where we were here till late at night getting the project finished up. I've gotten to know these men in a whole new way. And I've gotten to see the relationship they have with God. And how I used to think when you became an adult, you had everything together and it was just, you know, kind of... But I've gotten to watch Dan and Mr. Robinson lay a plan and watch that plan fall by the wayside as God has something else in store. And the way they praise God for it and plan again and keep moving. The schedule becomes secondary, but the end goal is the ultimate. So I guess that's one thing. The other thing is that God has just given me a whole new relationship with every one of these guys up here. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I know I've developed some friendships that are going to last for eternity. As I've gotten to work with these guys, I worked with a guy, I don't think he's up here, but we worked on a door over here about 2 weeks ago, and we worked all day on this one dumb door. And the door would not go together right. And finally I said, Daniel, we've got to give this door to God. And so right there, we bowed our heads and we gave that door to God. And I learned in a new way what God meant when he talked about when brothers dwell together in unity. And there's been lots of those times with different guys that are up here. And then I guess the third thing is that God has the purpose in my life of developing character in me. It's been quoted already several times, but he who has begun a good work in me will complete it. That's a promise on the day of Christ. And I can look forward to that day and can yearn for that day. But God's given me a verse, and I still don't know all of how God wants me to fulfill this verse in my life. But I do know this building project has shown me in a whole new way. It goes like this. This is the second part of the verse. Be strong and of good courage and do it. For the Lord God, even my God, will never leave you nor fail you till you have finished the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I thought, wow, Lord, this is incredible. The service of the house of the Lord. So I got all excited about that. But then I saw a few verses before that, a verse that goes like this. And thou, my son, know thou the God of thy fathers. Serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For it is the Lord that searches the heart and tries the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, you'll find him. But if you search for him with all your heart, but if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. And then it goes on, be strong and of good courage and do it. So with the seeking and the serving, then do it. And whatever that is, whatever the plan God has for me, I know that that it's through that seeking and serving and doing that God will fulfill what he has for my life. And so, you know, as we've wrestled, you'll never know, as these guys up here, but these windows along the back, they have an angle that is greater than 45 degrees. And a saw only cuts 45 degrees. And so we had lots of fun. I worked with some of these guys for a week trying to get the trim put around those windows. And there's thing after thing in this building where I see God has taught me character. I guess I look forward to sharing those things in the future. And I guess I learned, too, in a little bit more what God meant when he talked about eternity. Because it was one of the guys up here that talked about, you know, Brad, you could be walking through this building with your grandchildren. That was a new thought for me. I've never done something that's going to tangible, that's going to last for generations. And I guess I've learned a little bit more about what God means when he talks about eternity. So those are a few things God's taught me.
Well, the verse that the Lord has given me these past couple of months working here has been Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And this has really been true to me because I've seen that the Lord was really the one that built this place. I mean, with a bunch of guys that knew little or nothing about what we were doing sometimes, how could we have done it? And he was one that brought it and the supplies at the right time, even when we thought, where are those things? So he did it in his timing as well as with his power. The two things that the Lord has taught me personally was that when the people in authority show me something that I did wrong, to not get discouraged, but to learn from what they say and to build on it and do it right the next time. And the next thing the Lord taught me was that perseverance for when it is like middle afternoon and you're hot and cold or tired, to keep on going and do as well a job as you possibly can. Okay, in closing, when you look at this place, do not think of it as something that that men built, but something that it's a show of the Lord's power, of what He can do.
Verses that I would like to share with you. The first one is Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, thou comfort me. I guess I learned that when I first started in this building in this December, I could not see how I could help. The very first assignment was to screw the boards down on the stairs to the sound booth. God encouraged me, and I was eager to do other jobs. The second verse is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is successful. No. Sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most glory. Therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. God had a way of putting people with me to get the job done well.
Program the young men have been involved in that they spoke of, we've called Tectone. Tectone sounds like a modern day industrial term, but actually it's a Greek word from the New Testament, from Mark chapter 6. And we translate it normally carpenter or artisan or craftsman. That was the desire we had for these boys when they started. For many of them did start out as boys. But during these past 7 months, we've seen many grow in great maturity in character and just grow up before our eyes as they've participated in this training experience. The training went on not only here on the job, but the fathers also had a share in what was happening at home as instruction was given and as materials were made available and as the fellows not only did reading from a textbook that we provided for them, but also participated in the instructions their fathers gave them at home. The man that has been spoken of many times and that's had such a key role in all of this is a man who has worked in the construction business all of his life. And God brought through many trials and tribulations growing up. Many things that he has gone through have been the building blocks of making him successful in this field and now in passing that success on to others. And so I've avoided trying to thank anyone today, but we do certainly have to thank the construction superintendent, Dan Cutter. So, Dan, if you'd like to come up and say anything, we should do that. Thank God and bless God for your ministry here.
I'd like to read from Nehemiah 12:43. I'm kind of a fish out of water. I'm not used to being up in front. I'm used to doing the work. So just give me the job and tell me what you want done. And over the last few months, I just want to express my great appreciation and thanks to the congregation and letting me work with their sons. When I look, this work project, this was a project as real as possible as you can ever imagine working on a building. This wasn't a test, this was the real thing, a building. When you come to a test of that nature and putting it into men's lives, when we are all in heaven, this building won't be here, but the young men will live forever with the Lord. And that was the part that I was building on. There's many ways that you can build. And we've seen the building go on in the young men as they have come home. But my verse is at Nehemiah 12:43. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sounds rejoiced in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And my wife said we should open the windows at this point, but we won't. So the whole neighborhood could hear. I want to express thanks for my wife for letting me do the ministry God had called me to, and doing the rebounding on the back, taking care of the family. I appreciated that, Pat. Also, for the many people who have babysit along the way to help my wife so she could get out of the house. When I look over, there was many hurdles that we had to go over, or obstacles. One was a water problem in the basement. We swept it out once a week during the winter time, but when springtime hit, it was like a flood in the basement. We cut the floor, and we found, you know, that we had a down home. My mind went blank, but it was a water table coming up through the floor. Another was the insulation. We only had so many days to get the insulation in the building, and I was impressed of the turnout of volunteers to help put the insulation and stuff it in the walls. Also, the great project of the electrical and how the young men rose to the occasion to put it in and putting the boxes. And, you know, it was quite an undertaking, the amount of electrical that went into the building and the sound system. I am very proud of the young men in a timely fashion. But when we had the deadline, when Roy called me one evening and said that we were going to have the Children's Institute, and first thing that came to my mind, what month was it? And then he said, then I looked, and it was the seventh month, and I knew that would be okay because God likes number seven. and other things that had rose along the way, we had different technical difficulties. One, that we put the chandeliers in the wrong spot, so we had to move them one time. So, I mean, different things along long way, and believe me, they're fastened up there really good. They're not going to fall. So, they're making sure that the work was, strong and sturdy. And the windows in the back, cutting the angle. A lot of times I had to have hands-off training. If I show someone how to do something, that's one thing. But when they do it with their hands, then that's where they learn. It's when someone flies a plane solo. That's what I've heard. I've never flown, so by myself. But I can see that in construction. Making sure that all the young men got time on stilts, and minimum 4 hours, because otherwise this is the only time they might. Some will probably have the opportunity to go on into the profession of construction, but others will go on to other trades. But they'll be able to use the trades they have gained here in their own homes, and plus also for the maintenance on the church. Over the long haul of the building, there will be great need of upkeep, and that is where the building will need it in the future. Other items that I see that the young men grew. One big discouragement in the middle of it, a couple of the young men had told me that They had changed the children's seminar from here back downtown. And at that point, I sat there, I prayed, and at that point, I just thought, no, we're going to press on like the deadline is still here, because it will be changed back. And I am very grateful that it was, because otherwise, you know, God has deadlines. He made the whole world, and he rested on the seventh day. So there is importance of deadline, because otherwise, if you shoot for nothing, you'll get it. But if you shoot for, a target, and you have something to shoot at, and a little dot out there, then you have a goal. We had other technical difficulties along the way, but one thing, when something happened, I always wanted the young men to go on and correct it. If I'd let them not go ahead and correct the difficulty, then they would have not learned from their mistakes. And that is the most valuable lesson that you can give. In different areas, I am grateful that they pressed on and corrected. And that will give esteem and the pressing on power for the rest of their life, both physically, spiritually, and with their families and their jobs and community. So praise the Lord for that. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve and help you build your building. Thank you very much.
Daniel Pulliam told me that he's going to write a book, The Sayings of Dan. We would like to give something to these young men to remember this experience by, and also to include in their resume in the years ahead. And we hope this will be a help to them in what God has for them in the future. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Blackwood to come up at this time and help me make these presentations. Each of these young men were involved. We also had the privilege and delight of having two of the young men from the ATI Training Center be a part of all that we were doing and take part in this too. And those two young men, one of whom was not able to be with us, Albert De Leon, was not able to be here. But I also should mention Brian Dyer, who is here this morning, will be presenting him a certificate because of his wonderful involvement. And our partnership with the Training Center has been a truly marvelous part of this whole experience. Our first participant, David Baumgartner. Edward Burris. Craig Calkins. Benjamin Davies. Daniel Davies. Brian Dyer. Eric Filson. Michael Falk was not able to be here today, nor was Trevor Falk. Bradley Johnston. Mark Kincaid. Kevin Coons.
Kenneth Nelson. Forrest Owens. Daniel Pulliam. Clayton Thomas. Seth Thomas. Nathan Thomas. Benjamin Turner. We thank God for each of these young men, for their participation these past months, for the growth in God's grace that we've seen in their life. And so, to continue this time of Thanksgiving, I'm asking Jack Baumgartner if he'd come up. At this time, the young men stay on stage. Jack will lead us in this time of Thanksgiving.
After they build the walls in Nehemiah, they says that they blessed the people that were willing to dwell there. So we're not out of order to recognize these men who dwelt here many more hours than many of us, as well as all of you. But yet, as the people walked to Jerusalem, up to Jerusalem, to worship God, one of the main purposes was to thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we just think back at how much you have done in the hearts of these people here. And we give you praise for the people that you have given us to dwell here in this house week after week, and to trust you, Lord, to provide the financial needs of this building project. We thank you for the way you have week by week brought in the needed funds for this program. We thank you for the many things you've taught us as a congregation of about giving joyfully, giving without regret, and trusting you to provide our needs at home and give the needed funds that will be for the program and the building here. You have blessed us abundantly and provided our needs. We thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for the many people that you have put on committees to encourage us to give and to fast and to pray and to trust you for these needed funds and the people and to accomplish the work that would be needed. We thank you and praise you for the people that you put on the decorating committee to bring in the final touches to this building that make it so beautiful and glorifying. We trust that this would be a glorifying to your name and not to ours and not to Second Reformed Presbyterian Church, but to the Lord and Him alone that might give the glory and honor. We thank you and praise you for the building committee and for the many, many hours they have spent of sweat and toil just to plan and put this program together. And we thank you for the many wives have given up hours of their husbands' times to plan and to be here in your house. We thank you for each man in the Tecton program that you have put in their heart a willingness to give of their time, to learn the things you had them to learn here, and to get the work done, to accomplish the tasks that were given. We just thank you and praise you for the leaders, that you men who gave up their jobs to take on this job of building, and the hearts that you have knit together, we praise you for and thank you for. We thank you for your love and for the many things that you are going to do. And we thank you for an auditorium where we can sit together as family. Now, we praise you for that opportunity. We praise you for the many buildings and churches in the future that you want to build through this congregation, throughout this country, throughout this city, and throughout this state, and throughout this world, that you want to spread us, not just in keeping us here in this one place. I know you want us to spread throughout your country and your world to accomplish your purposes in the lives of people. We thank you for the people you're going to minister to through this building and through the lives of these people here. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you for all that you've done. And we give you the honor and glory now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll continue our worship now in singing Psalm 84, Selection 84A. Dean Filson will come and lead us.
Let's please stand.
We'll worship God with the morning offering at this time. God has blessed us. We continue to need that blessing. We lean on Him and depend on Him for that each week in the continuing construction of the building itself. Prayer. In connection with that, he'll be reading from 2 Chronicles, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 12.
I'd like to read that first, and then we'll pray. This is in 2 Chronicles 6, 12 through 18. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven, and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth, which keepest covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants, that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel. Yet so that thy children take heed to their way, to walk in my law as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, Let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? Let us pray. I thank for an opportunity for you. Let's have a moment of silent prayer. I know you want to praise God for certain things that you want to praise Him for. And in one minute, we will join in prayer together. Let's pause in quietness and pray. Gracious Father, I would do thank you for a congregation who loves to give. And as we have given of what you have given us, Lord, we just praise you for this gift today. Lord, bless it to the use of whatever you have for it, Lord, in continuing the building of not only this building, but in ministry throughout the world. Lord, we just praise you. What a great God you are, as we have walked into this building and seen what you have done through the lives of men and women who respond to you. You have loved us. You have walked with us. You have answered prayer many, many times as we've come up against stumbling blocks. And yet, you've removed all of those and given us a great joy as we've built together this edifice in honor of you. Lord, I can't thank you enough for the skilled leadership that you've given to the men and women of this church, and to the young people whom you have touched to give of themselves with such a willing heart. You, Lord, have put in the hearts of your children to give abundantly to this great edifice where we now sit and enjoy. We will be leaning upon you even more for the monies that are yet to be needed to pay the bills that are still outstanding. By faith, the people have responded. I'm reminded of a verse, Lord, in Luke 6:38, and it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, poured into your laps. Lord, you have done that. And all we can do is just say, thank you, Lord. What a great God you are. And as I have read that and thought about it, and I ask myself, Lord, what have you given back?